Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
You are more than a conqueror. Because of Him, through Him who loved us. Happy Easter. My name's Tim. I'm the pastor. We're so glad that you're here today. I want to take you on a four-step journey from the day before Jesus was crucified up until the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is available for you today and your family. The journey starts in the garden, then leads us to the ground, then to a grave, and then to glory. Jesus has been with his disciples all night. A few days earlier, he had come into town. We call that Palm Sunday, right? The triumphal entry. Now they're observing Sabbath and the Passover meal together. He reveals to them that he is the Passover lamb. And if you've heard that story, a lot of times we call it the Last Supper. It's in the Bible, and there's a meal there, and he's teaching. It's really an illustrated sermon of his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And they don't quite get it. As a matter of fact, they miss it by a long shot. He tells them that Judas is going to betray him, that Peter won't stand when he needs to stand, and it leads to, number one, the garden. It leads to the garden. And the garden is the place where Jesus went to pray. And I had the privilege, right before the war broke out, to go to Israel. And we got to stand in the garden where Jesus prayed. And there's one tree in particular that we believe is over 2,000 years old and very possibly could be a tree that was there in the garden. There's Jesus in the garden. Watch this video to give us some context.
Standing in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus went to pray before the cross. There's an old olive tree right here. Who knows how old that is, but this is the place where Jesus came to pray before he went to the cross. This is the place that he died to himself. This is the place that he died to his own will. This is the place where he said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." I challenge you today to surrender everything to him. Let it be said of you that you didn't do your own will, but you did the will of the Father. Hey, God bless you.
It was neat to be able to stand in the same place where this took place. And I want to read a combination of Luke 22 and Matthew 36 and tell a little bit of what happened there. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, and he knelt down and he prayed. Here's what he said. Here's what he prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appears to him and strengthens him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. He said, why are you sleeping? "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Pray that you will not fall into temptation. We have an insight in the Gospels to Jesus' humanity. He's struggling. He is struggling. He's struggling with the idea of what is about to happen. He knows who he is. He's fully embraced his calling and his life as the Son of God. He knows he's going to lay his life down, and he's struggling. He's struggling because he's about to take upon himself something that he's never experienced, the sins of the world. He couldn't identify, he wasn't born into sin. He committed no sin, and he was about to become sin for us. And the Gospels pulls the curtain back and lets us see a vulnerable Jesus. The Bible says he was overwhelmed to the point where he, as he sweat, blood flowed, capillaries burst, and under the pressure. The victory in the cross is won in the garden. And I want to help you today. The victory for your life is won in those garden moments. There's a really cool verse there. Jesus is struggling, and the Bible says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. But yet he went on to pray, and blood flowed when he sweat. Can I tell you that in those garden times where you were praying and you were seeking God, and you were saying, God, I need a breakthrough, God sends the comforting Holy Spirit to strengthen you. So there's hope in the garden. But there's a squeeze in the garden. Everybody knows, well, I think you do. Maybe you don't. If you don't, you're about to find out where olive oil comes from. And if you don't, I'll tell you. It comes when an olive is crushed and the oil flows out from it. The oil flows because the olive is crushed. Jesus was crushed so that oil could flow to you. In the Bible, oil represents the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The power that God has for you is available because Jesus was willing to be crushed. In the garden, he prayed. He said, hey, God, I'm on the struggle bus here. There's a part of me that doesn't want to follow through with this. If there's another way, now would be a really good time. But not my will, but yours be done. That's the message of the garden. When you say, God, I want to be honest with you. There's some things I don't feel like doing. There's some places I don't feel like going. There's some things I don't feel like saying. There's some decisions I don't feel like making. There's some attitudes I don't feel like adjusting. It's probably just me this morning. But not my will, but yours be done. The surrender in the garden produces power to follow through. And today, I want to tell you that 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. He is patient with you. Listen, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. That's the garden. That's where we deal with our fear. That's where we deal with what's ahead. That's where we make the decision. The decision wasn't made on the cross. The decision was made before the cross. And God has a plan and a purpose for you today. And there's resurrection power available to you and your family, your kids, your grandkids. Maybe today you would start a family legacy, sir. Maybe Ma'am, you would start a family legacy. Maybe, young person, you would say today in the garden, in this moment, as I realize that Jesus has a plan for me, it's not my will, but yours be done. And I tell you, there's so much power in that. So much power in that. Anybody ever feel weak? Just me and Dr. Amaker. That's it. Anybody ever feel weak? Of course you do. Realizing without him, we are doomed and damned and in serious hurt. But with him, I'm more than a conqueror. Through him who loved us. In the garden, Jesus dealt with what was ahead. Can I tell you, in this moment, right now, you say yes to him. Are you willing to say yes? God, not my will, but yours be done. Here's what lordship means, surrender. It means, Lord, I surrender to you. Three heart questions. Number one, what area of your life have you been guarding and keeping off limits from God? Or are you still holding on tighter to something else other than Jesus? Are you willing to say, your will, not my will? The garden. Then there's the ground. There's the ground. Here's the timeline. Thursday evening, they're observing Sabbath. They go to the garden to pray. Sorry about the audio. iPhone in Jerusalem picks up a lot of ambient noise. Then they go to a place where Jesus gets arrested. They have the Passover meal. They go to the garden to pray. They come to arrest Jesus. They lead him to the high priest's house. His name's Caiaphas, in case you're taking notes. And in the house is where they try him. So it's Thursday night late, and here's what it says in Matthew 26, 63. It says this. He said, the high priest says to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus says, you have said so. But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robe, tore his clothes. He has spoken blasphemy. Why do you need to hear any more witnesses? Now look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. They spit in his face, struck him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, hey, prophesy to us, Messiah. Tell us who hit you. Caiaphas was the high priest. Several decades ago, archaeologists discovered the house of Caiaphas. And when they determined whose house it was because of placement and some of the floor plan and the tile and the, they discovered this is where Caiaphas' house was. You can go there today. Probably should wait till the war's over, but. And as they excavated, they found something very interesting. They found a hole carved out in the floor. Now, it was common for high-end leaders in that culture to have a small prison for high-profile prisoners while they were under trial. The Bible says Thursday night, and then Friday morning at daybreak happens. So he's led to Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod to try to pass the buck. Herod dresses him up, makes fun of him, sends him back to Pilate. Pilate washes his hands and says, I have no part of this. Okay. The guy in charge of the Roman centurions says, I have no part in this. No way. You win in the garden, but your victory is tested in the ground. We had opportunity to go down to this makeshift prison. The Bible doesn't mention that Jesus was placed here. Church history says he was. And we're not sure what they did with Jesus between the night trial and the morning meeting, but I'm guessing they didn't bring Starbucks to him and rub his feet. So we went down to this place, probably where Jesus was, and I've got a little video I just want to show you where he was. Watch this with me.
The lighting is poor down here, but this is the cavern turned into a jail underneath Caiaphas' house. And this would be the place where Jesus was lowered the day before he was crucified. And I pan up. Here is the hole that he would have been lowered from. Spent the night down here trying to find somewhere to alleviate some of the pressure and the pain. If you're in a dark place, just know that Jesus has been in a dark place too. He's come to redeem you. He endured all this so that you could be with him forever and eternity. I'm going to pan the camera down so you can see. This would have been where he stood and sat and laid the day before he was crucified. Hey, God bless you.
The decisions are made in the garden, but they're tested. They're tested in the ground. They're tested in the ground. You will win the battle when you say Jesus is Lord. You must decide in the garden what will happen. But can I tell you that the enemy of your soul is not going to lay over and say, okay, I'm just going to give up ground. Your victory will be challenged. Some people call it like a midnight season. A night season all by yourself. I don't know if you've ever felt that before. You're in a moment and you're having encounters with God. And you're saying, yeah, God, I'm there. And then the crowd goes away and the music's not there anymore. And the lights and it's just life. And you're by yourself and you are being pressed. And it is dark. And you feel alone. And that squeeze comes in the ground to try to challenge what God has accomplished in your life. You are not left alone, friend. You are not left alone. That night, his disciples fled. No one stood up for him and said, no, you guys are misunderstanding him. As a matter of fact, Peter, I guess you could kind of say his right-hand man, was like, oh, by the way, just a few hours earlier, he's the one that drew the sword and starts going Compton on this guy. He cut his ear off. Jesus said, well, that's not the kind of kingdom. Jesus picks up the ear and puts it right back on his head. Now they come and arrest him. Peter denies Christ three times. He flees. He runs. No one's there. Jesus by himself in Caiaphas' house, being held captive, very likely in that dungeon, waiting for the next day, knowing what's about to happen. Can I tell you, when it feels like you are alone, you are not alone. Jesus stood there, mocked, beaten, alone. He didn't collapse under the pressure. And maybe some of you find yourself in a place like that now. Maybe you feel like, hey, you know what? No one really understands what I'm going through. No one can really identify. You feel misrepresented, fighting battles no one sees. And you're like, God, are you there? Father, are you there? You're not abandoned. You will be tested in the ground what was settled in prayer. Two scriptures to strengthen your faith. Number one, Hebrews 10. I'd write this down if I were you. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's read that together. One, two, three. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand. How are you? I'd memorize those two. Saving faith endures pressure, survives doubt, stands when it's unpopular, but God has not left you alone. He's not left you alone. If your faith only were, I think we call that foxhole religion, right? In the ground, Peter denies Jesus. Disciples ran, but Jesus stood firm. Following Jesus will cost you. You need to know that. It will cost you comfort. Following Jesus will cost you reputation. Listen, you don't have to be crazy to follow Jesus. But can I be honest with you? You have to be willing for people to think you are. It will cost you. It will cost you. It will cost you control. Anything less than full commitment is not commitment. Jesus didn't die for weekend acknowledgement. He died for a whole life surrender. Your faith will be challenged in the ground, in the dark place, and Jesus endured that so that you could have life. Number three, the grave. The grave. There's Jesus on the cross. Everyone can see him. Rome didn't waste an execution. They did it in the middle of the day at a point where everyone could see, and Jesus was crucified somewhere in the morning on Friday. The process began, beaten, whipped, made fun of, horrible, horrible torture. Jesus hangs on the cross in Luke 23, verse 46, and here's what he said. He cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. Into your hands I commit my spirit. John 19:30 says this. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and what? Gave up his spirit. There is no resurrection power without crucifying the flesh. We're going to celebrate the empty tomb in a moment. But the empty tomb is there because there was a cross. The tomb was borrowed because Jesus died first. So in the garden, the decisions are made. In the ground, you will be challenged. Or in the grave, that's where you have to die. You have to die. Jesus says, "It is finished." It means the debt's paid, the work's complete, the victory is secured. The victory is secured. Death wasn't accidental, it was intentional. It wasn't a curveball, it was the plan of God. Jesus had already dealt with that. God, if there's any way, not my will, but yours be done. This is the plan of God. The plan of God, look, the plan of God was for the Son of God to die. He would die in order to take on the sins of the world, to pay a price so that a penalty that you owed would be paid. A debt that you had to God would be paid. You say, I have a debt to God? Of course we have a debt to God. Our sin has created an upside-down balance in the books. We are in the red, friend. We are in trouble. Our sin has separated us from God. God required sacrifice, a sacrifice of a spotless lamb. The problem is, he could find none but Jesus. Jesus, the once and all sacrifice for our sins, hangs on the cross, goes through with it, and he dies. It is finished. Before any resurrection, there has to be a death. Jesus didn't come to improve your life. Jesus came to end the old one and give you a new one. The Bible says that you can't even see the kingdom of God unless there's a new birth. You've got to die to be born again. A new birth. To be born again means your old identity is crucified. Your sinful nature is broken. Your life is no longer centered on you. There's Jesus hanging on the cross. Throw it back up there. When we have new birth, we have new priorities. When there's a new birth, there is new desires, new direction, new authority. The cross is a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. What did Jesus say? Follow me as, or what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow him. The truth is this. Yes, Jesus died so that you could be free. But he calls us to follow him. Do I have to die on a cross so that I can be saved? Certainly not. Jesus has done that. But Jesus' death calls us to die to ourselves. He calls us to lay down our life. He calls us to lay down control. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to say, God, I surrender everything. What in your life today do you need to have a funeral for? What in your life today do you need to have a funeral for? What do you need to write an obituary for? What in your life do you need to just announce to the world, this thing is dead? Jesus calls us to die. He calls us to die. But here's the deal. If you die, you'll live again. If you die, you'll live. Today on Easter, as we land this in a moment, the cross is a call to death. Can I tell you, there's no better way to live. There's no better way to live, friend. There's no better way to live. If today you have this thought, here's the thought. You ready for the thought? Ready for the thought? Say yeah. If you have this thought, Jesus is Lord. You didn't get that thought on your own. It's a gift from God. If you have this thought, Jesus rose from the dead. That's a gift from God. You did not get your thought on those on your own. Those are not natural thoughts. Those are spiritual thoughts. And God's the one that reveals truth. If you have those thoughts, that Easter is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and you believe that, in your heart, that is a miracle, friend. That is a miracle. That is a miracle because that's not a natural thought. That's a supernatural thought. Jesus has called us to lay down our lives, our pride, our old identity, secret sins, and put them in the grave. And then number four, worship team, come. This is really fun right here, the glory. This is really fun. So Pastor John read earlier a scripture of the tomb encounter, Matthew 28. I'll read it again to you. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week. So now it's Sunday morning. Friday night, they put his body in the grave before Sabbath began, sundown. So we'll count that as one day. They got him, had to rush. That's where, why the tomb had to be in such a way. They rushed him. Now they're going back because they had not given Jesus a proper burial. They couldn't do that on Sabbath. They go to anoint his body, to prepare his body to be done. So they come to the tomb on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, the Bible says, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. He sat on it. Listen, you know that. That's a major flex. You know, like, he sat on it. He's like, come and get some. And try to move this rock right here. I moved it. No one's touching it. He sat on the stone. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. I guess Mr. Tough Guy's out the window now. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen, just as they said, come and see the place where they laid him. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. Now see, you'll see him. Now I've told you. There's three places that might be the tomb where Jesus was laid. Three places. I don't know which one. I don't know if it's any of them. The one in the garden probably is viewed as the most likely. And here's a picture of it. If you see at the bottom by that grate, we know it was a tomb, and that little shelf at the bottom was where a stone would be rolled. So we know it was a tomb, and you could go inside today, and inside it looks exactly like the biblical description. Okay? There's a slab where a body would be laid. I don't know if this is exactly the tomb. If we get to heaven and find out Pastor Tim was in front of a random tomb that everyone thought was, like, it'll mess up my Facebook post, but it won't discount the fact that there was a tomb that was borrowed, because on the third day, it wasn't needed no more. So just imagine the stone being rolled away. They come up on that wall. It was built into the side of a cliff. And there's this angel just sitting on the rock, just having the best day of his life, living his best life. He's sitting. The Bible said he had been in the glory of God. It was so bright. It knocked the Roman centurions back. The power of God was so strong, they couldn't hardly see, and knocked them down. And he's just sitting as if to say, I've come to announce The grave is empty. Now, I don't know. I've thought this at times. Maybe you have too. I don't know if the stone was rolled away so that Jesus' body could come out, or physics for a resurrected body don't apply, or the stone was rolled away to reveal he wasn't there no more. Either way, I'm fine. But he's sitting on the stone, and he's standing there. He's saying, "What? Good morning. What brings you down to the graveyard today?" I'm just, maybe, said this. What would you say? They had lost all hope, despair. They are grief-stricken. There's a good chance most of them hadn't slept a wink. They are traumatized. They are horrified of what they'd witnessed. Talk about post-traumatic stress to see that happen to a loved one. And there they are. And they come. They're, and all of a sudden this shift has to take place when they realize he's not dead anymore. Now, I don't know emotionally, intellectually, cognitively, how. You ever told someone a story and they say, "What?" It's not that they didn't understand the story. They just needed a minute to process it. Tell them you're at Easter church service. They just need a moment to process it. So I wonder, you can see Mary, what? What? Oh yeah, he's not here. What did you expect? They were heavy with grief. They weren't expecting a miracle. They were expecting a final burial. They even asked, "Who rolled this away?" Now, if you have an encounter with an angel, I don't know if I ever have, but if you can already look at him and there's this power, maybe, and he's sitting on it, you probably just assume he moved it. They just couldn't, we saw him. What? Because in their minds, the story was over. But God had a different story in mind. Can I tell you that the enemy has tried to take you out? Some of you shouldn't be here today. Some of you have stories to substantiate that. You shouldn't be here. But God had a plan. Some of you say, "Man, if you'd have knew me before I met Jesus, you would have never said, 'Man, that guy's going to be at Easter service in 2026. They would have never believed it. Some of you have been shut up, locked up, pushed down, pushed out. Can I tell you today, the angel moved the stone away to reveal the tomb is empty because there's resurrection power available to you. There's resurrection power available to you. And you say, "Man, I don't know if I can do that." Guess what? You can't. That's why you surrender. That's why you lay your life down. That's why you say, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." The stone wasn't just moved, it was completely rolled away. And the tomb wasn't just open, it was empty. They went inside, they're like, "Hey, what's the deal?" The place that once held death now is shouting life. What they thought was an end was actually, look, just the beginning. And I've learned that God will take us to places in which we have to say, "God, I'm at the end. God, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can make it one more time." And you think it's the You think it's the end, but can I tell you, heaven says it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, because life comes after there's a death. New birth comes when there's a dying to self. Resurrection power comes when I say, my power don't work no more. Some of you came today and maybe you've got some dreams that just have died. You've got hopes that have been broken. Can I tell you some things that you thought were over? Behold, it's about to roll a stone away. Behold, I make all things new. That's the word for you. Romans 8:10 says this. But if Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Why don't we just summarize that? The powerful Holy Spirit of God, who raised Christ from the dead, is available to you. And when His Spirit comes alive in you, the dead things come to life. I want you to think about something. If Jesus can defeat death, what is it He cannot do? What is it He cannot do? If Jesus can defeat death, what's there left to accomplish? He's paid it all. Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. Do you understand the ramifications of that today? If Jesus rose from the dead, defeated death, then nothing is impossible for Him today in your life. Nothing. Can somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise? The empty tomb is not just proof that Jesus is alive. It's proof that you can become new. It's proof that you can become new. It's proof that you can have a new birth, that you can have a new start, that you can be, here's a Bible term, born again. Rebirth, a new birth. And when the new birth happens, everything changes. But until the new birth happens, everything remains the same. Are you tired of the same old, same old pattern? You say, man, there's got to be more to this life. What you're missing is Christ's Spirit alive in you that comes and brings resurrection life. When the new birth happens, God begins to transform your desires. There begins to become a hatred for sin, a disgust for sin. Things that were once celebrated, now there's this tension. Like, I don't like. That's just not. That's not what it's about. New desires. Jesus becomes Lord, and now guess what? The pressure's off of me. I'm just following Him. So what I've got to decide is, where is He going? Because I want to go there too. The tomb is empty. You don't get saved because you show up to Easter service. You don't have a new birth because you're good. You don't become born again because your family background or because you got a new Easter dress. By the way, you look good. You get saved, you get born again, there's new birth because there's a surrender through faith. Here's how it works. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Well, what does that mean? Well, yeah, Jesus is Lord, but He calls me to follow Him. So if I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to go through the garden. Can I tell you that the garden is right now? You're in the garden right now. You're asking yourself, Father, not my will, but yours be done. We're in the garden right now. Out of the garden, you will be challenged, but you need to know you're not alone. There'll be a death. There'll be a death to old things. Because for resurrection power to come, death has to come first. But praise God, hallelujah, Jesus is alive, and you have new birth in Him. And so if you put your faith in Christ today, confess that you're a sinner, believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. Can I tell you? And resurrection power comes. What about you, sir? What about you today? What about you, born-again believer? Is there something that just needs to die again? Are you saved? Okay, you're saved. But I've learned that Jesus keeps calling me closer, and the closer I get, the less of me and the more of Him. It's an adventure. And maybe you say, mate, there ain't none of Jesus in me today. Bro, if I was being honest with you, preacher, man, I need help. That's a good place to be because Jesus is in the business of giving help. You bow your head all across the room. We're going to ask ourselves a couple questions today. What is Jesus saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Some of you are here, and God is saying to you, today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day for new birth. Today's your day for resurrection power. Come on, pick up your cross and follow me. Deny your flesh. Deny yourself. Surrender to me. And in that moment, I've got power. You're so far from God, you couldn't hit Him with a .22 rifle. You're so far. You're far. Or maybe some of you are like, you know, I've been kind of in this place before. I've heard one of these things before. I've sat here before. If you were asked, you would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but not really acting like one. So my question for you today is, are you going to fully surrender and let Him take control? Or maybe third, you're here and you're like, man, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. I have confidence in my salvation because I know the one who saved me. Hallelujah. You should rejoice in your salvation. And you should ask yourself, God, what is it today that you want to die inside of me? What is it today that you're working on? surrender that to you today. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. In a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to dismiss, and we're going to go on our way. In a moment, we're going to have that. But before that, we're going to have an opportunity to pray. There'll be some people that will be here to pray with you if you would like that. And I strongly encourage you to take advantage of that. But before we do that, we're going to pray right here in our seat. If you're here today and you're category number one, you say, Pastor, oh man, I'm here today, but man, I need help. I need Jesus. I'm far away from God, and I'm man enough, I'm woman enough, I'm aware enough to admit that. Please pray for me. I need help, and today I'm willing to say yes to Jesus. If that's you on the count of three, I just want you to wave and make eye contact with me because I want to pray for you right now. If that's you on the count of three, just wave at me. Today's my day. Friend, this is for somebody. I'm talking to you. God orchestrated this whole thing for you. I'm talking to you. Don't pass this up. You do not know if you'll have tomorrow. One Easter will be your last. The Bible said it's appointed a man wants to die and then the judgment. The Bible says now is the day of your salvation. If that's you and you say, Pastor, today's my day of surrender. I'm far from God. I don't want to be anymore. Today's my day. On the count of three, just wave at me. Pray for me. One, two, three, all over the room. All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. Yeah, yeah, I see you, buddy, in the back. I see you in the back. I see you in the middle. Yeah, I see you, brother. Yes, yes, yes. I see you. Yes, yes. Number two, you say, you know what? If you'd ask me, I'd probably say I'm a Christian. I'm probably not anything else, but honestly, I'm just not acting like one. I think today, for me, I just need to take this thing seriously and say yes to him all over again. Say yes to him all over again. Call it what you want. Sometimes we call it rededication. I don't know what you call it, but some of you just need to say yes to him all over again. If that's you, pray for me, Pastor. Today, I just need to say yes all over again. One, two, three, all over the place. Today's my day. Today's my day. Yes all over again. Maybe you're watching online. Listen, I encourage you, raise your hand and wave. I can't see you. You know I can't see you, but you can see you. You need to make this step. Today's your day. We're going to pray in just a moment. Hold tight. Yes, sir, I see you, buddy. Or believer, you say, hey, today I invite the Holy Spirit to direct me so that something else can die so that he might receive more glory in my life. Tell you what, man, my hands are up on this one. If that's you, just wave at heaven. Say, Jesus, come on, work on me. Holy Spirit, work on me. That's what I want. If you raise your hand for the first two, I want to leave you in prayer right now. Let's pray. If you mean it yourself, it's as if you made it up. God will hear it from your heart. Are you ready? Let's pray this together. Say, dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And today I confess that I need help. Today I surrender to you. I acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, who was born, died, and rose on the third day. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need grace. Today I ask for mercy. Now I make you Lord of my life. I make you Lord of my life. All across the room, I just want you to stand. All across this room, let's stand together. If you prayed today and resurrection power came to you, you may feel it or you may not feel it. Don't go with your feeling. Go with what the Word says. We want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. Two things I want you to do today. Number one, I'm super proud of you. I'm super proud of you. Don't let this just be another service. Don't let this just be a thing, right? The Bible's true, and I believe it is. Take God up on his promises and say, God, your Word said this for me. Number two, tell somebody what God did. Tell somebody what, you need to tell somebody, man. I would say, as a matter of fact, prayer team, why don't you guys come on up? I think what would be awesome if you told one of these ladies, one of these men. Tell some people what God did. They're going to pray with you and encourage you. They're going to high-five you and hug you, man, and congratulate you. Tell them what God did. Number three, get water baptized next week. We're going to, if the weather permits, I think it looks pretty nice, we're going to have water baptism outside. Outside in front of Chockville Road, God and everybody. We're going to baptize you, man. We're going to baptize you. Sign up today. Take your connection card and say, today, I'm signing up for water baptism. Take your connection card and let us know what God did. And grab a baptism thing. Number four, commit. Would you give me a year? Give me a year. Just show up. Give this thing a year. Take God up on his promise. Say, God, your word said this. Let us help you walk through it. So this time next year, and you're a complete, I mean, people aren't even going to believe it. They won't even believe, you're a completely different person. Completely different person. We're going to sing. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to praise God. If you need prayer about anything, if I'm sick in body, I'm asking for prayer today. If I need help emotionally, I'm asking for prayer. If I got saved today, I'm asking for prayer. If there's anything we can pray with you about, these altars are open. We'll dismiss in just a moment. Let's pray together. Let's sing as we respond today in prayer. Come on.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.